Jesus by night, to ask him the way of salvation and light. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, and verse number 9. Matthew 17, verse number 9. In the beginning of this chapter, our Lord Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. He's done so, it seems, what we gather from the Scriptures, to show them the work of God, that they might savor it, that you and I might understand the Word of God, that we might savor it. And we not savor the things that be of men, but we savor the things that be of God. Peter had a problem with that. He's the one that expressed it. He got a stern rebuke from the Lord saying, if you don't line up with what my purpose and my calling is to do, then you're taken up with the crowd that includes Satan. You're taking up with a position that is a great offense unto me. And so then the Lord made a promise that they would not taste death until they saw the Lord, the Son of Man, coming in his kingdom, to see his glory, to see the work, the kingdom work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they saw his glory on that mount. In verse number 9 of chapter 17 of Matthew, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Peter, James, and John, saying, tell the vision to no man. Don't tell what you saw to anyone, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. When I raise from the dead, then you can tell it. Until then, don't tell it. And you think about that. They had to hold that in their hearts. If they would talk about it, they had to make sure that they were away from everybody else. Peter couldn't even tell his own brother Andrew. And they could commiserate about it and talk about it some just amongst themselves. But until this of the Lord raising from the dead happens, which they really didn't understand what that was yet, they had to keep it to themselves. But obviously, when the Lord did fulfill his gospel and raise from the dead, they told it, didn't they? And verse number 10, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes, the handlers, the rewriters, the copiers of the Bible, the Word of God, the Old Testament, that Elias or Elijah must first come? Why do they say that Elijah's got to come first before the coming of the Messiah? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall come first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already. And so the disciples say that the scribes, those guys that deal in the Word of God all the time, they say that Elijah is supposed to come back. He must come back first before the Messiah will come on the scene. And the Lord confirms that. Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. He'll do it. He will. But I say unto you that Elias has come already. Fellas, he's already come. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed or what they wanted to do to him. He's come. And from the standpoint of the leadership. They didn't know that he came. They faced him straight on, and they didn't know that it was him. And they've done unto him whatever they wanted to do, whatever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Just like John did. I mean, just like Elias did. So it'll be to the Son of Man. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And so they knew and understood that Jesus had a forerunner and that John the Baptist was that forerunner. And interesting, John the Baptist, sent as he was from God the Father to baptize, did no miracle. He didn't do any miracles like would be attributed to Elijah. Elijah didn't do a whole lot of miracles, but he did some. And but John the Baptist didn't do any miracle, but he was the forerunner of Christ. And he was noted, will be noted by the Lord, or has been noted, and is noted in the Gospels as being the greatest among the prophets. The greatest man ever born, other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's the testimony of the Lord Jesus. So they understand that John the Baptist is Elijah, that he would come in the power and spirit of Elijah is what the scripture is talking about. Verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down unto him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him into thy disciples, and they could not cure him. So this man is looking for the Lord Jesus, and at this place where they're at, he's waiting for the Lord Jesus. He's brought his son into the disciples, and they can't help him. They can't fix him. They've looked to do what the Lord had given them to do, and they just can't accomplish anything with him. So the father implores the Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, help me. Help my son. If it's not by the fire, it's by the water that this looks to kill him and to harm him and do him harm. And we could only imagine the stress of the father in dealing with him. He's got to watch him all the time. Got to keep an eye on him that he doesn't hurt himself or worse. Then answered Jesus and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Now he asks the question, who is it that Jesus is talking about? Is he talking about this boy's father? Or is he talking about someone else? Is he talking about the boy himself? Or is he talking about his own disciples? In verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and so we find that he is possessed. The boy is possessed of a devil. And as we know the power of the Lord from the scriptures, the devil departs out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Jesus didn't try to cast the devil out. He cast him out. And that's what Jesus does. He has all power, even over the fallen angels. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we do it? You've given to us to be able to do it, because that's part of their commission and their charge as apostles, is to be able to, having freely received this power and ability from the Lord, that they should freely give it. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. So here we see what the Lord said earlier revealed, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. The Lord has just dealt with unbelief in the events prior to and the answer to it there on the Mount of Transfiguration, hadn't he? Peter, he doesn't savor the things that be of God. He savors what he wants, and that's no harm to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we can understand that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. They would want no harm to come to him. But when the Lord Jesus Christ says it's going to be, then we just need to receive it and line up with it. That's the point, is the word of the Lord is not to be questioned or rebuked in any way. So now, not the disciples down here that didn't go up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they're having trouble not being able to cast this demon. And the Lord tells them, said, because of your unbelief. He had said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, you just don't believe what I've given unto you. The simplicity of the truth of the word of God. You don't believe it and receive it. And Lord, help us. That's the way we are too. Because of your unbelief, verse number 20, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Faith in the Lord, not doubt, but faith. How much do we believe what we pray and ask of our Lord to do? Truly believe that an answer will be coming. That to bring the petition of our and desire of our hearts unto the Lord, and to believe that he will answer and he will help. A lot of times our prayer, I'm afraid our prayer is kind of like we just kind of throw mud up on a wall and see what's going to stick, rather than desiring the Lord and asking and bringing our petition. Faith of a grain of mustard seed. He said you can remove a mountain, and that's a physical mountain. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. Because nothing's impossible with God. Howbeit this kind goeth out not by, goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. With this one, fellas, you needed more prayer. You needed more fasting. You needed more seeking the face of God and the power of God in your life. You needed to spend more time with the Lord. And that's a rebuke to us too, isn't it? Spending time with our Lord. Verse 22, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. So it's kind of like before the Mount of Transfiguration, what the Lord had told them, the same kind of thing. And even Peter, James, and John, having gone to the Mount of Transfiguration, having gone and heard what Jesus, Moses, and Elijah talked about, they did not see that as something to be glad about. And it's a mixed bag for us to see our Lord's, to think of our Lord's suffering for us and for our sins is a very convicting and troubling thing. But it's by that very suffering and by that very death and shed blood that sinners like you and I can be saved. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to see things as our Lord and our Savior sees things. Not to think like a man, but to have the understanding of God. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. by email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.